some new things. From Joshua chapter 4. I was reading in Joshua this week and I said, I think God's going to open up the scripture here for us. So I hope you're with me this morning. I know he's with me. Joshua 4. Now it came about when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.'" So Joshua called the 12 whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe, and said to them, "Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' then you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.'" And thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up the 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan. Set up not those 12 stones, but these are our different 12 stones. You with me? You got to be careful when you're reading. This is a second set of 12. In the middle of the Jordan, at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the ark were standing, and they are there to this day. For the priests who carried the ark were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed. And it came about when all the people had finished crossing that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed before the people. And the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over in battle array before the sons of Israel, just as Moses had spoken to them, about 40,000 equipped for war, crossed for battle before the Lord to the desert plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests who carry the ark of the testimony that they come up from the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, saying, "Come up from the Jordan." And it came about when the priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come up from the middle of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up to the dry ground and went over all its banks as before. Now, I'm going to keep reading, but what it doesn't say here, the riverbed was also dry. What it's saying, though, is the bank of the river where the dry ground was already when the soles of their feet hit it, the waters returned into their place in the river. Verse 19. Now the people who came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho, and those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, the first 12, Joshua set up at Gilgal, and he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. I usually don't read a whole chapter, but it's important to see the context here of what is going on. So as I was preparing yesterday, I recalled a TV commercial for a certain gym exercise franchise where a muscular, less than rocket science type termed a lunk says, I pick things up and I put things down. And I think many of you know what I'm talking about. But I hope that for all of us, we have more purpose in life than that, in what we do or in what we are called to do. Purpose is defined as something set up as an object or end to be attained, an intention, an object or result aimed at, an aim, goal, target, mission. Now, Father has a purpose for whatever he says and whatever he does, or whatever he allows. Three things. You and I may not always understand the purpose, but we have the assurance and confidence that he who began a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. So I've entitled this message, Stones with a Purpose. Or, if you prefer, Purpose in Your Journey. Or Finding Purpose in Your Journey. There were a lot of things here. I narrowed it down to 5. No surprise. Number 1, stones of testing. Stones of testing, verse 5 and 8, or costly stones. It says there in verse 5, cross again to the ark of the Lord in the middle of the Jordan. Now, when they were on the other side of the Jordan, they witnessed the parting of the waters, the hand of the Lord, and they were still witnessing that wall of water that was held back by the very power of God. But what God, through Joshua, is asking them after they've already made it through, and if you recall it, Scripture said they all hurried to cross. Now he's asking the 12 leaders to go back in to the middle of the Jordan, and the priests are still standing there with the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you read and research this, this time of year was the time of harvest, and the Jordan normally was, at this time of year, was about 100 to 120 yards wide at Jericho. And this the Jordan gets its name Descender from the intense current that flows in that river. Under a normal time of year, it would be 4 to 5 miles an hour. But when it's swollen in the time of harvest, that's vastly accelerated the current, according to Jameson Fawcett Brown, a commentator. Now, it says also there, having crossed once, in other words, or gone the distance and obeyed the direction of the Lord, but then they're commanded by Joshua to go back into the riverbed, all the while knowing the force of the river and seeing that wall of water right there. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is tested. And this word of God was being tested, not just for the 12, but for everyone that was there. And likewise, every word that God speaks to you, prophetically or in the spirit, every one of those words will be put to the test and will be found true without exception. Also says previously in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 8:2, that he was testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments. And sometimes the Lord asks us to do things, and he just wants to know if we will do it. Right? Will you go to that prayer meeting when you don't feel like it? Because he's asking you to go. See, there's purpose in it, not just to go to the prayer meeting, but you heard the voice of the Lord, and now will you obey the voice of the Lord? That's where the word gets tested, what you do with what you hear, what is spoken to you. New Testament, Luke 9:23, Jesus speaking. And he was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Likewise, Luke 14:27, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So this is where the rubber meets the road. We can say this, we can say whatever we want, but we have to live a life that demonstrates the life of dedication to the Lord Jesus. If you can say whatever you want, but if your actions don't line up, carrying your cross is doing that which you don't feel like, you don't want to, but God is asking you to do it. And what will be your response? Stones of testing in our lives. So we need to pay the cost and carry your cross for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. You don't have to worry about what someone else thinks. The scripture challenges us to examine our own heart, put our own intentions and attitudes and actions before the Holy Spirit and see what he has to say. Number two, stones of faith, faithfulness, and testimony. Verse 6 and 20 to 24. It says there in those verses, the stones are there for a sign when your children ask. And inform them. Tell them what they mean, what they represent. Testify, in other words. All of Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Do you understand this? This isn't just 50 people, 100 people. It's 500,000 people. That's just men of age to go to war. So there was actually, including women and children, it was more than that. Crossing and witnessing the hand of God moving on their behalf to bring about what he had promised, to bring them in to possess their land, which he had ordained for them, put their name upon it. It's no small feat here, this scene that is going on. By God's power and for God's purpose, he held back the flood waters. And they all crossed on what should have been a wet bottom. This is another thing that amazes me. It's one thing to for the water to be held back, but that water has been soaking that ground for years and years and years. And yet, as soon as the priest's feet stepped in, the whole riverbed became dry. He didn't just want them to slip and slide and, you know, muddle their way over. No, he dried up the entire riverbed for all those people so that they could walk on dry ground in preparation for the crossing before they had crossed, until they had all crossed. Just as the Lord your God, verse 23, had done with the Red Sea. And I would encourage you to do a little more study here, verses 16 to 21, about this whole scene here that we're condensing for time's sake. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. Do not call to mind the former things, in other words, what God did and how he did it. And this is very applicable to the day we're in now. You can't say, well, this is the way God does things in my life, or even this is how God speaks to me. All bets are off during this season. He wants us to do whatever it takes to hear his voice. Whatever it takes. That's paying the cost. Again, related to the testing, stones of testing. But God shows himself faithful. Isaiah 43, do not call, 18, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Some would say those two things don't belong in the same sentence. Are you following me? A river in the desert makes absolutely no sense. But he's really speaking prophetically about the release he's going to bring in my life and in your life. He's going to create a river, a rushing torrent of his glory that has a purpose to touch lives for the kingdom of God. And that's not in my notes. I was thinking about a song I used to sing by Don Moen, God Will Make a Way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And of course, you know that's Yahweh. That's not in the song. That was for you, Eddie. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. And there's more. Verse 24 in Joshua 4 here, that the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. In other words, for a testimony of his power and his goodness and his faithfulness and all the rest of who he is. That's why he's doing it. Yes, he's doing it for his people, but much more than that. There's a deeper purpose in it, that the earth will see the mighty hand of the Lord. Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. The Amplified renders this, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. I like that. And this is what he said. Your stones are his building blocks. Those things that you look at as obstacles, even, or unpleasant, or you don't see any reason or purpose, those stones are his building blocks, building a testimony for the world to see. Just like he had performed this miracle of the moving of the waters of the Jordan for all to see. Yes, on behalf of the nation of Israel, but there was a higher purpose in it also. Right down to an individual level. Ephesians 2:22. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Stones with a purpose. Actually, living stones, and we'll get to that in a moment in 1 Peter. So number 3 in verse 7 talks about memorial stones. And it's not talking about gravestones. Talking about memorial stones here. These stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. A memorial is defined as serving to preserve remembrance, something that keeps remembrance alive. And if you've never been, I encourage you to go to Living Stones in Leominster. It is an awesome place. And a man dedicated his life after he met Jesus, had his own Damascus Road experience. And what is, it's not just amazing that these huge tons of granite have scriptures laser cut out in them, and you just walk the circuit, and the Word of God is just alive. It's like it brings you to tears, the atmosphere. But if you look, he started, you know, isn't it just like you and I? His life was a mess before Jesus entered. And the first, he wasn't a mason, but his chimney was a mess, so I'm sure with help he tore it down, and then he began to rebuild it. And if you look at where he started, the quality of the work is like average at best. But then as the chimney goes up, where when the Lord really began, the Lord began speaking to him as he was involved in this project, and I don't think he even knew at that time what God had intended when he began to speak about living stones. But you see the transition in the quality of the man's work. Because why was that? Because when God gets involved in your life, the quality goes to another level. He doesn't want or expect that you're going to stay where you're at when you first get saved. He has a purpose. He has a higher purpose for us. And he leads us in that everlasting way that we talked about in Psalms 139, verse 24. So 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5 reads, "And coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice or chosen and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up." And the margin says, "Allow yourselves to be built up," or "build yourselves up." "You are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." That is the only way to the Father, through Jesus Christ. Everything comes through the one who loved you enough to fulfill his Father's purpose on that cross. So when you submit to God's building process, you become a memorial stone. Yes, there's an aspect of death and a gravestone, but there's also an aspect of resurrection. That's where the living stone comes in, being made into. And I am willing to bet, I didn't research it, but where it says you are being built up, I would suspect in the Greek that that's the aorist tense, which means an ongoing and continuing action. The Greek pictures that in a very beautiful way. Because the work of God is going to continue in you until you meet him. Period. Either until he returns to earth, or whether you go the way of the earth, as they say, and pass away, the work of God will continue in you and also through you for his glory, becoming a memorial stone or a testament to his faithfulness, grace, and love. Psalms 127, verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain." If God is not involved in what you're doing, I'll paraphrase it, you are wasting your time. Unless the Lord builds the house. Because when he does, he builds a memorial to his mercy and grace and love and much more. So we need to purpose to live a life that will be a memorial for all to see, that he may receive the glory. Number 4. Stones of presence and promise. I love studying Joshua, the man Joshua. And I'll point out a few things here. Joshua, if I can remind you, he built both, the men got the stones, but Joshua built the memorial. he was involved in what God was doing because God was impressing upon him the significance of what was happening. And this is what we need to live in, such a way that we see significance in the everyday and the mundane. Why do you want me to do that, Lord? Because I have purpose in it. That's why. So it says there in verse 8, Joshua set up the 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the ark were standing. This is actually the second memorial. The first one we'll get to, which Joshua later set up at Gilgal to the east of the city of Jericho. But this memorial stone is a memorial to his presence. And so these stones were taken right from where and the memorial was constructed in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests stood, number one, and secondly, where the Ark of the Covenant was, which was a representative of God's presence with his people. Now, of course, being under the dispensation of grace, which we heard this morning when Kathy opened, his presence is fully accessible to every believer now, but it wasn't so then in the same way. So, a memorial to his presence, since his presence was represented by the ark. Now, two things, just two little tidbits about Joshua and about his understanding of God's presence and his love for God's presence. And we even sing that song, I love your presence, that song. And that was Joshua's song. He loved God's presence. And if we go back to the book of Exodus, Joshua was, remember, who was Joshua at one time? Yes, he went in to spy out. He was among the 12. He represented Judah. But he was Moses' servant. He served Moses. And so he got a first-hand look at Moses' interaction with the Almighty. And it records this here this is one of the occasions, Exodus 33:15. God speaking face to face with Moses. Joshua's right there. When Moses returned to the camp, Moses saying, if thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. And the Lord responded, okay. I won't, because he was not happy with some of the things that they were doing. Nonetheless, at Moses' request, because of his relationship, there it is, with him, he said, okay, I'll go along with your request. And Joshua was right there and heard this. Previous, Exodus 33:11. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua would not depart from the tent. You understand? Moses used to go to the tent of meeting where he met with the Lord. Joshua wasn't allowed in the tent stayed right there at the door. And he basked. You remember when Moses came out of the tent, what did he do? He put a veil over his face because he was glowing from being in God's presence. And Joshua didn't want to stay right there. He experienced a measure of God's presence right at the gateway, the doorway to the tent of meeting. Speaks volume about his life and about his character and about his hunger for God. Also, this was the place where the priests stood in faith. And the reason they could stand in faith was because they believed what was promised. They believed God had said he was going to bring them. He himself was going to bring them into the promised land. Whatever God has called you to do, he is going to be involved in it himself. He doesn't send somebody else. He goes himself. So I don't know about you, but that is an ironclad guarantee for me. When I become, oh, I don't understand, oh, I don't want to do it, God's going to be there with me. And he's going to be intricately involved in every detail of his purpose in handpicking me or you to do something he ordains for his purpose. Standing in faith at the place of promise that God would be with them and accomplish his word to them. Isaiah 55:11, it says, his word accomplishes his desire. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. To paraphrase this, all God's power and provision goes forth when the word goes forth. So you have everything you need. When God speaks something, asks you to do something, all his power and provision are already been supplied. You may not see it yet. That's where stepping into the realm of faith comes about. That partnering in faith is so essential for the release of that power and provision to pave the way for the fulfillment of his purpose in us and through us. So we need to speak and live as a carrier of his presence and his promises to us and through us. Stones with a purpose. Being built into living stones with a purpose, or purpose in your journey with him. Number 5. Stones of restoration. Now the first 12 stones, again, Joshua is involved. He's the leader. The men bring the 12 stones, and then Joshua sets them up at Gilgal, at their first camp, in other words, after they crossed into their right outside of, or east of Jericho, before the walls of Jericho come down. They're just entering into the promise. So, verse 20, these are the memorial stones that are referred to in verse 7, that the men... Now, picture this. These can't be stones that they just carried in their hand. So they walked, these 12 men walked into the middle of the Jordan, which at flood stage was about 50 to 60 yards, just to the middle, picked up a stone that they could carry on their shoulder, then walked back that 50 or 60 yards with that stone. And even further, because they didn't just drop it at the riverbank. It ended up at Gilgal, which means, the name means circle of stones. Couldn't find anything more definite about the meaning of that word, Gilgal. But Joshua set up these memorial stones at Gilgal. And this speaks of God's commitment to relationship and restoration. Because remember, do you need a history lesson? All the original 500,000, because of their disobedience and unbelief, every single one of them died in the wilderness. This army, this 500,000, were their children. Important to realize. So, God did not renege on his promise. It would be fulfilled through their children. This is why it's so important to leave your children a godly heritage. Where you leave off, your floor will be their ceiling. Speaks of God's relationship and restoration to his people from a national all the way down to a personal level. 2 Corinthians, getting a little wobbly here, almost to the end. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Speaks about this restoration process. Now, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Or a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things, what things? The new things. All these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. That's not where it ends, thank you, Lord. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He passed the torch. Now, all these things are from God. And it goes on. There too. I would encourage you to read the rest of it. But it speaks about restoration to right relationship or fellowship with God. Colossians 1, 19 and 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. And through him, here it is, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross through him. I say, whether things on earth or in heaven. This is an awesome mystery. It's God's purpose. It was God's plan all along. Jesus could have said, no, you understand that, right? That's what being fully human and fully divine involved. He could have said, nah, I'm not going there. He did not. Reconciled all things to himself. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. You can go there on your own also. So we need to realize, rejoice and receive his fullness and the fullness of his forgiveness. Not coincidental that we sang that song this morning either about forgiveness. John 1:16, for all of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. And the good news is just that. God is with us. God is for us. God is not going to give up on you and I. I don't know about you, but I feel good about that because I know my tendency to wander. Any other wanderers out there? Let me say it this way. Are there any out there who don't wander? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But what it's really saying there is all things that God has called you to do, not what he's called somebody else to do. That needs explanation. You have to understand who you are and the purpose that God has for you. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Otherwise, you're not going to succeed. But if you enter into God's purpose for your life, then you can do all things through God who strengthens you. Philippians 4:13. John 8:36. The Son shall make you free, and you shall be free indeed. And I would add that you will be free to be everything and do everything that God ordains for you to be and do. And free to do and be victorious in all these things. God in his wisdom knows, just like in Leominster where the site where the living stones, once you put this 10-ton piece of granite down, that's where it's going to stay. So you have to know where it belongs. Because once it's there, it's a project to move it. And it's the same thing. God knows where, when, and how to place your stones. You understand this? There's no accidents or there's no coincidences in the life of a believer. You know, so stop saying it's the devil. No, it's not. God is in control. He's still on the throne. We need to give him that place of authority and dominion in our lives. And then begin to ask God when things don't go our way, when some of these stones of testing start coming into our life, what are you trying to do in me? What are you trying to work in my heart? What are you trying to expose in my heart? Because God only allows stones of purpose in your life and in mine. To him be the glory. Amen. Thank you for being patient with me this morning.